On Friday, not much change. Heat index near the 105 danger range and a few spotty storms. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Have you guys tried Nuke's Eatery, where everything is served fresh? I just enjoyed one of their 7 real meal deals with a full handcrafted sandwich for just $8.99. Choose a side and a 32-ounce drink. A real meal, only $8.99. Plus, save time when you order online. Some restrictions may apply.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. It is back to school for many school systems this week. Montgomery Public Schools, Autauga County, and Dallas County all head back today. For a full list of school dates, visit our website, alabamanews.net. Ladarius Dees will spend 50 years in prison after pleading guilty to several charges in Dallas County. Dees pled guilty to attempted murder, assault, and shooting into an unoccupied vehicle. Dees is also a co-defendant in another case involving the murder of Jermaine Tarver. And a 17-year-old is being charged with attempted murder as an adult. Prattville police say they were called in reference to a man shot in the stomach Friday on Fisk Street. They believe an argument led to the shooting. The suspect is being held on $80,000 bond. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Are you in the market to purchase a new vehicle? Or maybe you've been dreaming of putting a pool in the backyard just in time for summer? Well, I've got the answer for you. I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. Why get an auto loan or a pool loan when you could get the cash you need in hand by refinancing your mortgage? Cashing in on the equity in your home will provide you with the money you're looking for at a much lower rate and a much lower payment. By simply refinancing your mortgage, you can purchase your dream truck or swim laps in your very own pool. It sounds too good to be true, but it's not. Alabama Home Mortgage can make it happen. It's time to live the life you've been dreaming of. Call me, Kim Williams, at 567-4223. Again, that's 567-4223. Or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com. Because, folks, there is a difference in mortgage companies. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Trustworthy. Accurate, immediate, carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
President Trump making his most forceful condemnation of white supremacy in his address to the nation.
In one voice, our nation must condemn racism, bigotry, and white supremacy.
The emergency landing overseas, the cabin of a British Airways flight filling with smoke about 10 minutes before it was supposed to land.
The Dow lost 767 points. It comes after China let its currency sink to the lowest level in 11 years.
At a vigil at the Ohio State House, anguish turning to calm. Calls for action. The crowd at one point drowning out the governor, shouting, "Do something."
Do something!
After pleading guilty to mailing pipe bombs to prominent critics of President Trump, Cesar Sayoc was sentenced to 20 years in prison.
A drug lord in a Brazilian prison who tried to escape by impersonating his 19-year-old daughter who had been visiting him.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Tuesday. This hour is brought to you by Brubaker Motors on the Eastern Bypass and Bravo location. Go by and see Dick Brubaker, Don Worker. Tell them you're Dan Morris Show listener. Great values out there, folks. They want to sell you a brand new car and or truck. The Ram is one of the best that's out there. Take advantage of it. They got the Kia, the Chrysler, the Dodge product. They got the Infiniti product. They have got it all just for you. Jeep, winning awards all over the place. Go by and see them. Tell them thank you for being a sponsor of the Dan Morris Show. Let's talk to James. James, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey, Dan. I was very inspired by Joe Scarborough's speech, so I'm really anxious to contribute to Trump's campaign.
Yeah?
And
you white supremacist, you?
Yeah, he really gave us good guidelines and making it acceptable for us to contribute now, since we've been recognized as such, you know. And I want to accept this challenge, but I did want to get it to go the right place, and I'm not that familiar with the presidential contributions, and I want to get Pam to pull it up on the internet, and I wanted to know, you know, how I might do that properly. Does he have, they haven't banned the president from having a website, have they? Or
No. You go Trump for President website, and you can sign up, and they'd love to have you, and they'll bug you with emails all day long, and then once you set up your, once you donate, they set you up where you can donate again and again and again. And yes. Some people do like $10 a month and things like that.
Yes, sir. Okay, sir. They don't, there's not a way to do it without constantly getting emails, like if you send a check.
You can send a check to the Donald Trump campaign.
Yes, sir.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe the campaign address, which I think is in Arlington, Virginia, is on the website.
Yes, that was my only drawback to ever contributing to anything, was her not wanting to, you know, not wanting to get her barraged with emails and contribution or phone requests so much. But I wouldn't mind a monthly contribution. I think it'd be well worthwhile, you know, with everything we're going through. And I thank you very much, and I heard from your lady they called today that was kind of inspired to do the same thing, and I'm hoping there'll be a lot of other people across the nation that will accept this little challenge. And
I tell you, I hope so too, because I, you know, the things that they're saying, and that is, if you believe X, Y, Z, then you're a racist. Well,
yes.
I'm sorry. There's a whole bunch of things that he mentioned that I believe, and I do believe it's an invasion that's coming over our border. That does not make me a racist.
Yes. Yes, they mentioned, yeah, I totally agree with you. They mentioned eye drops. I have to use 18 a day, so I don't feel too bad about using them.
Oh, man. And you got me beat by a bunch.
Yes, well, your eyes will be great after you finish it. You'll be set for life, because they would never change again, that lens. They may have to do your spot check about 6 to 8 months later, where they go through with a laser and temporarily clear the lens up. But it won't take but a second to do that, if they do it at all. But that'll be the only follow-up that you ever have to once you get it set in. And thank you so much, and we'll talk with you later.
Thanks. Appreciate you. Let's go to Jenny. Jenny, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Hello.
Hey, Jenny. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
What's on your mind today?
The lady talked about psychotic people, and I babysat a little 5-year-old back in the 70s, and even back then, I knew something was wrong with him, because I had a kitten, and I came around the counter from the kitchen to the living room, and he had my kitten on the floor, and he was strangling my kitten, and it was to the point where the cat's tongue was hanging out, and I said, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm just playing." And so I actually had to breathe into the kitten's mouth. He hadn't entirely arrested, but, you know, I had to breathe to make sure that he was still alive. And I had two small children that were like two. And so after I moved back to Alabama, I was in California at the time, and I had another friend that knew his parents, and she remained friends with, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to honk my horn. she remained friend with his parents. And after we got back in touch with each other decades later, I said, what did you think about that child? And I told her what happened. And I said, I think he's probably in prison for killing somebody. And she said, I think he is too.
Yeah, people that torture animals when you go through and you talk to prisoners and you find out if they, it's one of the questions that the psychiatrists ask them when they come into prison. And if they answer yes to that, you probably have somebody that's not a very good person. Thanks for the telephone call, Jenny. I appreciate you. Let's get into some of this on the mental illness. This is common traits of mass shooters. This was on CBS This Morning.
New research shows mass shooters have a lot in common. The findings could be used to help prevent future attacks. The Violence Project has studied every U.S. mass shooting since 1966. Its database, which is not publicly available yet, includes 160 mass shooters who have killed four or more people in a public place. Nearly all were male, and the average age was 34 years old. The study found most shooters shared common traits like experiencing childhood trauma. The researchers also learned these shooters are socially contagious. Psychologist Jillian Peterson is co-founder of the Violence Project. Its findings will be published later in a book, and she joins us now. Let me start with this idea of childhood trauma, because people hear that right away and say, red flag, red flag. What did you find out, though, about childhood trauma and these mass shooters?
So we found that it's really a slow build over time. So you do see intense childhood trauma, things like parental suicide, serious physical and sexual abuse, heavy bullying. But then that builds over time. You add in mental health concerns, you add in a real crisis point, and then access to this script for this form of violence and the means to carry it out. And so we do see these common factors, but of course the majority of people who experience childhood trauma, this is not how it turns out.
Joey and I were talking off mic about this issue, and that is, one thing that you kind of learn is all how you process something. If you take it as a personal thing that happened to you, and you feel hit or hurt, then you want to, that builds up in you, and then you want to stroke out at others. It's all in the way you process things. And that's one thing I do not like about the mental health community, though. They sometimes will say, well, it doesn't apply to everybody. Well, nothing applies to everybody. It's situational. But again, it's all how you process it. Let's continue on the traits of mass shooters and identifiable crises that have happened in their lives.
Nearly every mass shooter that you studied suffered an identifiable crisis, you say, before the shooting.
Yeah, and that's something we've been really interested in terms of prevention. So in the days, weeks, or months before the shooting, there's a marked change in behavior, and that's typically a suicidal crisis. Mm-hmm. So about 80% we could identify were actively suicidal before they did this. And these really are suicides in essence. They're horrific, but the shooter typically dies. And so that change in behavior, people leak their plans. 78% leaked their plans ahead of time, so people knew.
So eight out of 10 gave a warning in effect.
Yes, a very clear warning. And so if we can train people to be thinking about those signs of a crisis and to also not only recognize them, but know what to do with those warning signs, know who to report to, know what intervention strategies are in place in their workplaces or their schools or their churches, that's something we're really thinking about in terms of prevention.
Now, one thing that the media's completely left out on the shooter in El Paso, he drove from McAllen, Texas, to El Paso, border town, border city. But this guy was living on food stamps. He had been unemployed for quite a period of time. He had had this real identifiable crisis. I think we're going to find, was able to go and get enough money together to go buy a weapon. But I think this guy had those identifiable crises. Now, here's kind of another interesting part of who are potential mass shooters and murderers who didn't carry out their plans and why?
You've also researched mass shooters, 200 mass shooters who did not successfully follow through with their plan, thankfully. What did you take away from that, and what else can people you know, who are watching this program learn from, again, that idea of attempting to do something, but they were not able to. And I think it also probably speaks to those who stepped forward and may have said something.
Yeah, you do find a lot of stories of people who were thinking about doing this, were in a really dark place, had seen others do this, were getting radicalized online, were gathering weapons, but someone stepped in. And what is kind of inspiring is oftentimes it actually doesn't take that much to get someone through that crisis point. Certainly long-term intervention takes a lot, but just getting someone through that moment, it can just be someone stepping in and saying, are you okay?
Yeah.
Let's reach out.
Is there an easy way though, you think about it, how do you know when it's somebody just spouting out anger, venting, maybe just having an angrier side, and when it is something that you need to step in on?
You don't know. But
are there signs that are different? Anything that people can draw on?
Not necessarily. But what we're thinking is crisis intervention, de-escalation, suicide prevention. Those are skills that are going to be helpful in many situations. If someone's just angry, if someone is feeling suicidal, if someone's just going through a hard time, not only a mass shooting, it'll be helpful in general. But we also think it would help in terms of mass violence.
Priest friend of mine in Washington, D.C., a guy named Brian Cox, who was a pastoral care priest, very great priest, very knowledgeable. He had, for those of you who are real church people, he was at Church on the Way in California, and that's where he got into seminary and then became an Episcopal priest. He tells a story that about this guy that kept coming to church at the church that we were going to, in Church of the Apostles in Northern Virginia. And this guy was seeking something, and he knew he was seeking something, so he started talking to him. And the guy shared with him that the thoughts that he had had, and he talked about the tragedies that were in his life, but he was having these thoughts, and he came to the Lord with Brian Cox and let go of all those things. And he just gives a testimony. He said that if I would not have come to the Lord, I think I would have killed probably a dozen people somewhere in my life.
Yeah.
I was that demented. I was that possessed. I was that distraught.
Well, and I think this is probably the best thing that's come out of this news cycle, this study. From this group. It's very data-driven, effective. But when I think about stuff like this, I don't really think of it to make sense for me in terms of the latest scientific data and psychology and the nature of trauma, which is all important. Again, I love that this is out there making the mainstream. I think of things like read Tolstoy, read Dostoevsky, read Cain and Abel in Genesis.
Right.
I mean, the language is there. This is a human problem.
This has been happening forever.
Yes. Especially the language in Cain and Abel, where after Cain gives up his offering, God doesn't really look on it with favor, and he's very angry. And the Lord says to him, but if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, it desires to have you, but you must rule over it. That imagery of crouching at your door, and it's waiting, and you have a choice still, even if it is right there on the horizon. That's something really
good. That's very powerful. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Jacob. Jacob, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Good afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon, Jacob.
I have a question for you.
Please.
Do you think that racism is a mental illness?
I think it's a trait that you learn from your environment.
Okay, so you don't think that way back in the day, during the time that it was hanging and all the hundreds of people standing around watching the people hang and smiling and playing their banjos and whatnot. So I guess all those people were mentally ill that was watching those hangings and chanting it on.
I didn't say that.
Okay, so why this man here who was a devout racist, right?
How do you know he was a devout racist?
Because in his portfolio, he hated Mexicans, okay? And he went there specifically to kill Mexicans. That is racist, okay? The man was a racist, and we need to just put it where it is. I don't know why you bounce around the supremacy part of it, the white supremacy, but that's exactly what it is. Now, he may have had some type of mental illness along with it, but you still can't leave out the ideology of what created that illness. And it usually starts at home and it spreads abroad. okay? His parents probably was talking the same thing, and everybody else, and he grew up thinking these things.
You now, don't know the, you don't know that at all, Jacob.
Yes.
No,
yes,
you do not know that at all. Now,
look,
now, let me tell you what.
State,
let me tell you what could have happened.
Let me tell you what.
Let me tell you what. What is more likely, and what I've kind of gleaned out of it, this guy was a loner. I think he got radicalized on the internet by looking at things and started drawing conclusions out of that. Now, of those conclusions, are those racist conclusions? Yes, but why? He didn't have a basis of knowledge to know that what he was even thinking was wrong. That's where your mental illness comes in. When someone is doing something bad to another person and they think that is good, that is a bad thing. And I question that person's mental capabilities, whether referring back to the lynching times or referring back to anything. I think that is a disturbed individual.
All right. So what about the people who stand around and watch them chant? Are they mentally ill also?
Watching what?
Watching the lynchings and chanting it on. Get them, you know, hang them. That type of those are all mentally ill people.
There's a difference between mentally ill and somebody who's disturbed and somebody who doesn't have a mental soundness to them. Those people have they're not compassionate as looking out that this is another human being that they're doing something to.
So if I give you a gun and tell you to shoot somebody, you shoot them. Am I not just as responsible for it as you are?
So where are you going with that?
What I'm getting at is the ideology is just as bad as what he's done. The racism that's going on and being taught to these children is the real problem. It is the
okay. Well,
problem.
Let me ask you: is that what bounds does that go over? How many can blacks be racist?
How many what?
Can blacks be racist?
Yes, blacks should be racist.
Okay, so anybody that hates another person for who they are is a racist, right?
Right.
I'm with that. I'm with you on that. That's what I believe, too.
That's right. There's no doubt that any nationality could be racist.
Yeah.
Okay? Any nationality could be racist. But what I'm saying is, hello?
I'm here. I just said yes. We need to hurry up because I got to go.
We need to do better inside of our
home. Boy, let me tell you, you and I are right in agreement. Let me tell you, this is about a condition of your heart. And we have some people who have some very, very dark hearts. I do not want to see anything happen to anybody that's another human being that has not gone through, say, a judicial world of it. But just somebody doing something to somebody because of who they are, that is prejudice and racist.
Yes, sir.
Jacob, I enjoyed my conversation. I got to go to my doctor's appointment. Joey, I'm handing it over to you. Audience, hand it over to Joey. Guys, be good, be safe. Be back tomorrow with me at 12 o'clock. Joey's got the ball. Adios.
Broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
Get online. That's what everybody told me was the secret to more business. I paid a company to make a beautiful website, but I don't get any activity, and I can't afford an advertising agency. That's when I decided to call Dan Black Studios. Dan's team of experts analyzed my website and made substantial improvements. I even have branded pages and social media. The leads are pouring in. Call Dan Black Studios at 279-6036 and schedule a free consultation.
School's almost here. Isn't it an embarrassment that teachers are forced to buy their own class supplies? Isn't it a crime that some kids are forced to start school without everything they need? Blue Water Broadcasting and Jones Drugs ask you to cram our van and help kids and teachers in the River Region get off to a great start this school year. Drop off school supplies such as pens, paper, notebook, and backpacks to Jones Drugs. Jones Drugs, your locally owned pharmacy, striving to be your health partner and not just a pill store. Donate what you can and help us cram the van for Montgomery's public schools. From Jones Drugs and Blue Water Broadcasting.
To find out how you can help, visit newstalk931.com.
Montgomery area helpwanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
We need to work as a team at this company, so today we're going to do a team-building exercise called Trust Falls. Sally, I want you to close your eyes, fall, and I'll catch you.
Okay.
One, two, three. Ooh. Okay, lesson number one, fall forward.
Ow, 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 ow.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at MontgomeryAreaHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
And welcome back to the Dan Morris Show. As you just heard Dan, he had to be off to his follow-up appointment about his eye. He's looking good, though. He's carrying on best he can. I think he'll be 100% by tomorrow. I'm going to continue on. I really do think this is one of the best studies, data-driven analysis that have come out of mass shooters. It would be even more encouraging to see their whole data set. But it actually helps to make sense of some of what's going on. And, you know, based on the last call, we talked about earlier in the show, and I talked about yesterday, how often ideology and mental illness or lack of mental fortitude, all sorts of things, plenty of reasons for being despairing and not in your right mind in this crazy world. These two things can overlap, mental illness as well as ideology. And in fact, when you look at the most extreme groups out there, whether they're racist groups or they're, Islamist, Salafist types like ISIS or any sort of extreme group, they often look to find recruits in the folks who are very much down and out, whether it's mental illness from something they inherit, something literally in the DNA, or it is something, they're out of their right mind because of drug addiction, past trauma, these sorts of things. Those people are ripe for more radical ideologies because people need meaning. They need purpose in life. And if they're found by the wrong people, they will be given a meaning and a purpose that is, well, let's say evil. Let's just use the straight up word for it. Luckily, in this day and age, unless you go to some of the darkest corners of the internet, I don't think I've met anybody who saw what happened this weekend and thought it was a good thing. And that's what amazes me about the politics, is there is a, it's like there's all this division when pretty much every American I know, every person who's grown up in this culture these days that is about the inherent dignity of the individual person, found this abhorrent. Find these mass shootings shocking. And, well, they give one pause. And that's why we now need to help make sense of it. At least make sense of the problem. Because if we don't make sense of the problem and pinpoint it, because a lot of these mass shooters, if you look back through the years now, some of them had abhorrent ideologies that have sort of mapped onto whatever it is they are pushing. And don't get me wrong, there are very evil people in human history, evil actions that happened, whether it was the lynchings in the South not too long ago, whether it was what happened in Germany in the 30s and 40s, the 1930s and 40s. I don't think somebody has to necessarily be clinically insane in order to perpetrate evil. They can, well, evil has existed since the beginning of humanity. So, again, that's why I brought up Cain and Abel. Resentment and anger can lead sin to your doorstep. And for some, it is, well, worse than others. And that's why I like this data-driven approach that CBS is presenting. I believe the LA Times was the first one to put this out there. And what they did, just to recap, folks, is they looked at 160-something mass shootings. It's a shame that the data set is that big, that there have been that many mass shootings in the last few years, few decades. But they looked at all these instances, and they found what was in common, childhood trauma being especially part of the problem. I think we're all starting to realize, the more we bring science to bear, especially in the realm of psychology, how much people can be affected, especially early on. But let's continue with this interview. And it's, again, the common traits of mass shooters, profile and reaching out to people.
Two of the more alarming words in your report are the socially contagious words.
Yeah.
That, I mean, we've seen that, it would appear this past weekend. We've actually had three incidents in, 4 or 5 days?
Yep.
These trigger other attacks, don't they?
They do. So we did find that these are socially contagious. Perpetrators study other perpetrators. And when one happens, the most concerning period of time is the week after, because there tends to be more.
Yeah.
People read about it online. They see the notoriety that people get. They watch these manifestos get spread.
John Miller with the New York Police Department, who was here yesterday, said it's not people who suddenly plan an attack. It's people who've been thinking about it who suddenly decide now's the time to do it.
Exactly. Yes. Who become inspired, if you will, by seeing another one play out.
Yep.
What sort of systems should churches have in place to try and have a system where people feel comfortable reporting it, whether it is something major or minor, but just so there's a place where this information is going, whether, you know, to build a profile of someone who people need to sort of be on the lookout for?
So we in schools have been talking about care teams. So rather than threat assessment teams, which feels like, you know, someone's a threat and I need to report it and they're going to get in trouble and the police are going to get called. And I think people get scared to report things because they don't want to get people in trouble, get them fired.
Right.
But if we can report to a group of people who know resources and can connect people and approach it in a different way, saying, mm-hmm. Are you okay? What can we do to help you? Mm-hmm. That gives it a different flavor, and I think people will be more likely to reach out.
Yeah, and we need better systems. The world is changing. Our societies have changed. We are not the same nation in terms of our civil society that we were 30 years ago, even. Things are rapidly changing, especially with the aspect of the internet, which is much more than just a new tool to communicate. It is changing the very way we think about ourselves and our communities. And so there need to be some forms, some processes that we can use in order to help people, should be the idea, and prevent tragedy from happening. And this is a fairly new thing. Now, there have been horrible things that happened in this nation's history, horrible things. Man, you can write a long, long list until your hand falls off of all the evil done by human beings to other human beings. This is just something we've struggled with. And honestly, in the last 200 years, it seems like we've started to get things right. Obviously, haven't been perfect, haven't eradicated evil. I think when you think you've done that, good luck. It'll probably rear its ugly head very quickly once you think, oh, everything's fine. But we are living in one of the best times ever to be alive. And it's just shocking. I think that's part of why it's so shocking to us when Most people, even if you have, you know, certain types of suffering in your life, certain tragedies, most people kind of move on. They figure out how to enjoy life. You know, the most shocking thing when you look at the gun statistics and when you look at how many people die due to guns, it is due to using a gun by their own hand. Suicide is a shocking number of gun deaths. And sometimes people don't just commit suicide. They turn the gun on others before committing that awful act. There has to be more serious discussion beyond just moments of crisis like this about why some people in our society, and mentally ill maybe isn't the word, I'll use a little more old school term, why so many people are despairing, completely caught up in despair and anger and resentment against their fellow human beings. It is a question that's, well, it's been a riddle and a mystery for so long in our history. It's just being brought to bear today. We've solved a lot of the problems that have kept us back as a people, as a human race, for so long, but we haven't solved them all. And the project continues. We'll have to hit a quick break here. Went a little bit past it, but we'll be right back. You're listening to The Dan Moore Show. You want to call in, 272-9228.
The Dan Morris Show. Never knew how complete I could be. She kissed me and said, baby, please go away. It feels so nice. Being with you is enough. Please go away.
He may not know whether he's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Boy, I'm itching for hunting season. What are you planting for your food plot this year?
Don't rightly know yet. There's so many options, but some of them seem kind of gimmicky.
That's what I think. I'm going to Prattville Farm Center's Hunter's Night Out at the Doster Center. Over 25 vendors will be there, and they're offering big discounts to folks there that order early.
I'll meet you there.
Prattville Farm Center's Hunter's Night Out, Thursday, August 15th, 5:30 p.m. at the Doster Center. Admission is free. Call 365-5400.
News. I'm Rich Dennison. Ohio's Republican governor is urging the GOP-led state legislature to pass laws requiring background checks for nearly all gun sales and allowing courts to restrict firearms access for people perceived as threats.
We must do something.
Governor Mike DeWine saying Ohio needs to do more while balancing people's rights to own firearms and have due process. The FBI is opening a domestic terrorism investigation into the attack at a California food festival. A gunman killed three people before killing himself. North Korea is testing more missiles as the U.S. conducts joint military exercises with South Korea.
They appear to be ballistic missiles. The president and Kim Jong-un have an understanding that Kim Jong-un is not going to launch longer-range, intercontinental-range ballistic missiles.
National Security Advisor John Bolton. This is Fox News.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com.
Montgomery Subaru. Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We're easing back to a more typical summertime forecast with fewer storms around, more of the hit-or-miss variety. Today, a sun and cloud mix on the first day of school for a lot of school kids. Hot day today, high around 93. Spotty splash and dash type storms, more widely scattered with a low temperature tonight down to about 74. Then tomorrow and Thursday with a high temperature in the middle 90s and a heat index near or above 100, there'll be some widely separated afternoon and evening storms around. Then on Friday, not much change. Heat index near the 105 danger range and a few spotty storms. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
When it comes to serving your financial needs, CB&S Bank, formerly Prime South Bank,
Bank is committed to providing you the best possible customer experience. Enjoy the same great service from the same familiar faces you know and trust. Come see them today. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Well, let's finish up here on The Dan Morris Show with the last clip in this interview about common traits of mass shooters. They're going to be talking about mental illness.
Jillian, you mentioned mental illness, and President Trump made a point of mentioning mental illness yesterday. How significant a role does mental illness play in this?
So you do find mental health concerns, certainly, in the vast majority of mass shooters. But it's important that mental illness and violence, you're not more likely to commit violence if you're mentally ill. You're actually less likely to commit violence if you have a mental illness. You're more likely to be a victim. What we see is these are complicated pathways, and it's childhood trauma and mental health and bullying and other stress factors. And you see this slow build over time. They're complex pathways. So picking out any one piece doesn't work.
One of the stress factors that was also mentioned is video games. Right. Is that a real factor?
You know, we did code video games and we are looking at that. It's a bigger factor in the younger school shooters, but it's not the majority, or it's not an overwhelming sort of piece that we're seeing.
When you say it's a bigger factor among them, it's what contribution, if anything, does it make?
So again, I think it's one piece of this puzzle, right? So we have, you know, there's some case studies where you see someone who's been in a lot of first-person violent video games, and they kind of take that into the shooting. It's sort of that script for violence, right? You're practicing that script, and so it becomes more normalized.
Man. Now, and I will say, folks, as a wise man once said, so much of the battlefield is your mind, and the prize is your soul. So be careful what you put in your mind. And I worry that a lot of these mass shooters, because of past trauma, because of, well, getting, you know, being alone, not having any friends or family or somebody to check them and check on them and give them a little perspective, get caught up in these, put it this way, dark corners of the world. And with the internet these days, some people are fighting that battle with the worst possible ideas and getting into some people's minds. And, well, they lose the biggest prize of them all in the process. But here, Louie B. Lou Balestrani is on the phone. Hey, Lou, how are you?
Hey, Lou Balestrani. How are you, my friend? I am retired from the NYPD. I currently live in Montgomery, Alabama. I spoke to Greg and Joey Clark yesterday. I'm going to give you my opinion on these shooters.
Okay.
I teach personal safety. I teach self-defense. I'm an Olympic judo coach. I brought Olympic judo down to Alabama. Okay? You can never, ever stop the goal-oriented individual from operating. The only way you stop him is to be more violent when he's in the process of being violent. That's number one. Number two, you can never predict insanity. You never know what goes on in somebody's mind when they're sitting next to you.
Right.
Okay, and this is a very tough, we're in a very tough time. Taking people's guns away isn't the solution, okay? If people want to own a firearm, I think you should be vetted. You should have a background check done. And in addition to that, you should be trained with that firearm, okay? Anybody who wants to hurt another person doesn't have to get a firearm. You could use your car. You can create a bomb. In prisons, which are extremely, extremely secure places, these guys create shanks and they kill each other in jail.
Right.
So taking away the guns isn't the solution, in my opinion. I carry a firearm all the time because I see what has happened to people who don't carry firearms. I had 6 opportunities in my career to take a human life, and I didn't do it. Okay, because I have extreme firearms discipline. I know right from wrong. I don't want to take another life. I couldn't live with myself if I really had to do that. These people are definitely sick. Evil is evil. You cannot, you know, you can't change somebody who is evil. I don't think you need an amazing amount of psychological counseling to hopefully help these people.
All right.
That's what I have to say.
I appreciate the call. And actually, across the board, I believe I'm in agreement with you there.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Enjoy your day. Be safe. God bless.
Thank you, Louie. Yeah, good call. And on that point, we have some clips here from Judge Andrew Napolitano talking about some of the proposed new gun laws. There might be some bipartisanship here. I wonder how much it will solve. But here's Judge Napolitano talking about new gun laws.
Our nation has watched with rising horror and dread as one mass shooting has followed another. We cannot allow ourselves to feel powerless. We can and will stop this evil contagion. In that task, we must honor the sacred memory of those we have lost by acting as one people. We must seek real bipartisan solutions. We have to do that in a bipartisan manner that will truly make America safer and better for all.
So that was the president yesterday. About Judge Napolitano joins us right now. Judge, as you heard the president speaking from the White House, and he had some suggestions on red flag laws, see if we can do anything with social media companies to try to figure out
video games.
Do this stuff, video games. Any of that possibly going to become the law of the land?
I think a lot of it will not become the law of the land, but let me say this about the president. He is the most faithfully pro-Second Amendment president in my memory. Rather than Ronald Reagan, forgive me, he's Donald Trump. I think what he was attempting to do yesterday was to address the issue at its fringes without interfering with the core right of law-abiding people to keep and bear arms.
Which you agree with.
Which I agree with. So a person who lawfully possesses the type of weapon that these creeps use should not lose their right to carry that weapon because somebody else misused it. That is at least the theory of the Second Amendment. The theory of the Constitution is, and here's where I commend Senator Graham for his efforts to try and address this, but I don't think it's constitutional. The theory of the Constitution is we don't punish people, we don't take their rights away from them because of what they might do, because of what they could do, because of what we fear they'll do, but only because of what they have done. We just don't live in a society where judges and juries predict behavior and punishment, punish it before it happens.
Very true. And I do worry sometimes out of an abundance of caution and worry and fear and never want anything like this to happen. Some of the suggestions, and this doesn't have to always do with just mass shootings, crime in general, pre-crime, there are some preventative measures, but pre-crime programs, well, they can go too far. We also have to protect liberty while protecting life. And on that note, we got to hit a quick break. More Judge Andrew Napolitano is going to be discussing these so-called red flag laws. Is there some measure to prevent these things and flag somebody, give a red flag to somebody before they might do something really terrible? We'll be right back. You're listening to The Dan Moore Show. 1 minute break here.
The Dan Moore Show. Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Oh, man, piece of junk.
Claire, what are you fussing about?
I'm trying to crank this, a piece of junk.
Here, try this.
Man, what brand is this?
It's a Steel, the number one selling brand in America.
Wow, this looks great. Where can I get it? Home Depot? Lowe's? Huh?
Neither. You can't buy a Steel there, but you can buy one at my store, CTE Outdoor Power on Perry Hill Road.
Oh, man, I bet this thing costs a fortune.
Shoot, this month I've got Steel blowers on sale for only $149, chainsaws for only $179, and just in time for grass cutting season, we've dropped the price on Steel grass trimmers to only $129.
Man, you gotta be kidding. That's about what I paid from the home store for this piece of junk. Now, what I do, though, if it it breaks. Let me guess. You ship it off, it'll take 6 weeks.
No, look, some steel components have a lifetime warranty. But if it does break, I got the parts and service departments on site. Man, we service what we sell. And check this out. With our exclusive Advantage plan, if your steel does break, we may fix it for free, give you a new one, or at least have it repaired within 1 week.
Get out of here. From now on, anytime I need anything having to do with lawn equipment, I'm going to come to see you at CTE Outdoor Power on Perry Hill Road.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Well, welcome back. Before we get to Judge Andrew Napolitano talking about red flag laws, something Republicans in the Senate are mentioning, something Democrats have been mentioning for years. Even the president mentioned it yesterday in his remarks. But the devil is definitely in the details. But before we get into that, let's go to the phones, talk to Joe. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
I'm fine. How about you?
I'm doing good.
Just a comment. Listen, mental illness has been around since humans have been on this earth. What has really changed is the revolution and the saturation of military-style weapons in our culture. Now, we have to decide what we want to do about it. In the 1920s, when the Tommy gun was real popular, they outlawed it. So that's where we are. We're not going to cure mental illness, but we need to look at the firepower that's available on our street and can be bought and circulated throughout our communities.
Well, I covered this a little bit yesterday. The Supreme Court hasn't ruled clearly on the Second Amendment. The most recent case was the Heller case, and they essentially said you couldn't ban anything in common use. And surprise, surprise, the rifle in most common use, the most popular rifle in the United States, is the AR-15. And what makes it tricky if you want to get into things like rate of fire and muzzle velocity and these sorts of things is, you know, even Dianne Feinstein, who's been working on, say, these issues for years as a Democrat in the Senate, has mostly been focusing on cosmetics, because if you, say, want to ban AR-15 or a semi-automatic AK-47, they have the same rate of fire and muzzle velocity as a hunting rifle, for instance.
Yeah, so yeah, I know all the technicalities.
Right.
But the military style, which includes AR and AK, I don't think our society really wants that type of firepower. I don't want to live around it. I don't know about you. I don't want to have to go to Walmart, even if I have my 380 with me. What can I do against the AK?
Now,
panic and run and duck.
No, I'm not really for banning the AR-15, for instance, especially given how they're already out there.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. I'm not advocating collecting. I'm talking about the banning of
the continued sale. Yeah,
and you grandfather everybody else in. There's no way you can collect those that weaponry that's already out there.
Well, and I'm asking a genuine question here: is does certain aspects like grips and the looks of an AR-15 actually give an advantage in terms of firing the weapon as opposed to a hunting rifle?
Well, we're concerned about the ammunition and the
large capacity magazine?
Yeah, the magazine. And those are the issues that common and thinking people got to work on. We're not going to outlaw weapons in this country.
Right.
It's what type of weapon we want to be available to the general public. That's the decision that has to be made. Be blessed, man.
All right, you too. Thanks, Joe. All right, let's continue on with Judge Andrew Napolitano here.
Judge, when there's a rape list and there's a kill list that he had in high school, that is something that he did do. So then the gun should be confiscated. That is a red flag.
That is a red flag, and it doesn't show up on the databases. The strictest database in the country is New Jersey's, because they combine their own plus the federal. Both of these creeps would have passed a background check applying the strictest database, because this type of thing that they saw in the high school doesn't make its way to the database.
The local police department investigated the guy.
without a charge, and this is a defect in the reporting system, without the filing of a charge, it doesn't make its way into the database. So the databases are only as good as the information that's in there, and they're only as valuable and up-to-date as is that information.
Here's what Lindsey Graham proposed last night. As usual, every time there's a major issue, he seems like the only one who does any work. Listen.
There has to be an imminent threat of harm to oneself or to others before the police, and it can only be the police, can go to a judge. You have a hearing. You got to have more likely than not standard that there's an imminent threat of bodily injury. 7 days later, you have a full-blown hearing, clear and convincing evidence where the gun owner can come in and defend themselves, and the government has to prove by clear and convincing evidence that the person is disturbed, a danger to themselves or others. And if that test is met, they can seize the guns and get the person the help they need. What I want to do is encourage these laws with robust due process, and I think that's the president's goal also.
So that is the president's goal as well, but that's all the federal government can do is encourage these laws and pay the states to do it. The feds can't order the states to do these things. Right. There are a half dozen states that have these laws now. The neighbor complains you're using your gun in the backyard and you're angry as you're using it. That is not a basis to take the gun right. away. But that is not a basis to deprive somebody of their rights.
It is tricky, folks. Here, but let's go to the phones. Talk to East of the Rockies. You're probably going to be the last call of the day. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Hey, look, here's kind of what I'm hearing, that there's some Dr. Evil guy stroking his cat, telling conservative people who are off their rockers, hey, go shoot up soft targets, mm-hmm. you know? And although the president hasn't said that outright, it's implied in his verbiage. And this bothers me because it's just not true. It's, you know, is Eldridge Cleaver and Huey Newton and, you know, Angela Davis, are they telling young black people to go out and kill each other?
No, they'd probably be saying the exact opposite.
Well, it's just as unreasonable for me to accuse radical political people on the other side of ordering others to do this and to continue to say over and over again that it's the president's fault. I don't know, man. It's kind of like it's kind of like the people that just sang louder when the Jews went by in the train. You know, they said that they wouldn't have to pay attention to the cries of their fellow countrymen being taken to the ovens, you know?
Yeah.
And it just bothers me, Joe.
Oh, the politics of it is disgusting to me as well. I mean, it's not as disgusting as the actual shootings and events, but the way we're now responding, politically speaking, is, it's gross.
The next time there's a massive race-on-race violence situation, am I going to say, well, Louis Farrakhan told you to do that? No, he did. If he didn't, then he meant it. You know, and it's like, that wouldn't be reasonable on my part. But anyway, I don't know. Integrity, what is that? Hey, man, thanks